It's good to be in the house of God.
Amen.
And children, y'all did awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you. Gary, you did okay. But we love Jesus. Loving each other, just praising God. You know, today we want to think about fathers standing tall. How would you like to be the only father on earth? Would that be an awesome experience? It might be like the one that I saw at the train station 2 days ago. We were in Denali State Park, and the train, the Alaskan Gray Line train, was coming up, and this excited wife was out there saying, "Honey, you need to do this, you need to do that," and she was just going back and forth, and finally she got out about 5 feet in front of him, standing on the line. The train was coming, and that man said the classic. He was standing there, "Yes, honey." When everything is quiet, you're always right. And so, fathers, today's our day, okay? Today our day to be right. You know what's good? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to look at a man who ended up standing in the gap. It was a man who was standing tall when all others were bowing down. Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. They took them wives, all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord."
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, today, we thank you that one man found grace, favor in your eyes. And today, Lord, we know you're looking across this universe, across this magnificent world that you created. And Father, you still are finding men and favoring them with grace. Thank you for your grace that's been shed abroad in this room right here, for men and women, boys and girls who've experienced the presence of God, the love of God. And now, Lord, we pray your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Going back into a period of time, during the creation of the world, there must have been many birth pains. But as I look across this great, magnificent world, there were huge men of renown. The man named Adam, all of us recognize his name. There was Adam, and his wife's name was Eve. Adam was the guy who walked with God and talked with God. He lived 930 years. And then there was Cain, and there was Abel. And then all of a sudden, a boy named Seth was born. Who was Seth? He was a good man. He was the one who was appointed in place of Cain, in place of Abel, who was killed by his brother Cain. He lived 912 years. And then there was Enos. He was 905 years. But when he in his life, the Bible says, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. That's some 2,700 years. He lived 905 years. Canaan lived 910 years. Mahaliel lived 895 years. Jared lived 906 years. And then there was a man named Enoch was born. Enoch, he lived 365 years. But we know Enoch because the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. He was a man who never saw death. God just called him up. And then there was Methuselah. He lived 969 years. And then Lamech, 707 years. And then comes along a man named Noah. Looking at his surroundings, what do we know? We know that every place there were men and women who were being marrying and given in marriage. We know that there were children being born. But there was something unique about this. After all of these hundreds of years, men had had the opportunity to know God, but yet their minds began generation by generation by generation to turn away from Him. Till finally God looked upon the creation of the world and it grieved Him at His very heart that He had even created man. And so what did He say? He says, I will kill them. I'll wipe the world clean. It's a beautiful world. Folks, God's creation is beautiful. But man, when he thinks evil, can corrupt even the beauty of God's creation to the point in which he said, that's it, guys. And he was going to bring out the big zapper and he was going to take them all out. Till finally, though, he looked upon one man and he was a man who had three sons. That's it. Three sons, but this man said, in front of my children, I will walk right. In front of my children, I will walk the way God wants me to walk. In front of my children, I will live that way. And God looked upon this one man and said, yeah, he's a right guy. So flip with me now to verse 8 where it says, now, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's four marks of a man who's going to be standing tall. When you're standing tall, when your children can look upon you and say, yes, this is a man of God, he will be as this one man, this hero of the Old Testament. His name, Noah, he was a man of value because, verse 8 says, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He is favored. God looked upon him and said, I can work with this man because he loves me. So if we're going to be a man standing tall, we've got to be a man of value. Secondly, though, the scripture goes on to say in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Three things you see right there. He's a just man. In other words, he was a man of principles. A man of principles. In other words, you look at his life and you say, you know, that guy, he walks it and he talks it. He don't just talk it, but he walks it. His ethical standards, he doesn't steal, he doesn't cheat, he doesn't lie. There's something real about this guy. He's called just, but look at his principles. He was a man of ethical standards. Look, he's also a perfect man. Whoa, women, you don't find many perfect men, right? But there are some around. He was a perfect man. In other words, he was a mature man. He was an honest man. We would call, out of the Old Testament, being a perfect man, he was a man of integrity. He is a man of high moral principles. Integrity? Hey, can that be said about you? If it can be said about you that you are a man of high integrity, then it can be said about you that you are a perfect man. Noah was. Now, we all know that in this world we're going to sin, okay? I'm not talking about sinless perfection. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about men who are willing to stand in the gap, be favored by God, live with sound principles, and then be a man of integrity. He had this type of thing. But look at the fourth principle. He's a man that walked with God, a man with a personal relationship. In his mind, it was clear where he was going. He had one focus, and that was to honor and to obey God. It says he walked with God. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, the scripture says, can two walk together except they agree? So in other words, God's thought, God's way was Noah's thoughts and Noah's way. Wouldn't it be neat just to walk out there with God daily, experiencing Him? Oh, you can. You can. This is not something that cannot be obtained. Well, we looked for over several thousand years, several generations that it was not obtained. But for you, you can be the point of beginning. Laura and I had the opportunity to go into the back country. And inside of the back country in Alaska, we had a jeep ride. And in the jeep ride, basically all they was going to do is take through some mud holes. And so we're going to the back country, we're going to go through some mud holes. And it's probably of all the glorious things we did, this was the weakest, but it was the greatest. Because what happened was, we started going back there and we'd bring those jeep, put them in four-wheel drive, go through some of those holes, water coming up yay high. Now that part of it was fun. But when he got toward about the halfway mark, this couple that was riding with us, he had to couple up, four people in a Jeep. And you should have seen these women getting in and out of these Jeeps. Folks, that was an experience in itself. I can assure you, in my household, a Jeep will not be bought. And so getting in and out of that Jeep, that was an experience. But the guy that went with us and his wife, we started talking and asked a little bit about him. And he said, you know, he said, my wife and I, we met as runaways. When he was about 16 years old, he had run away from home. And one of the reasons why he had run away from home is because of his dad. And therefore, he hit the streets and he was living. And they ended up meeting in a detention center. And out of that detention center, the two of them, they got and they ran away. And they started living off of the streets. It was kind of an amazing thing, though, that God, and I wanted God, I said, I want to talk to somebody about Jesus up in Alaska. And there it was. It was that opportunity. Riding in the back country, and this guy started telling about how he and his wife ran away and the life that they lived till ultimately they were coming back. He became, at age 26, he was an alcoholic, missing work and all. Finally, he went to the halfway house, and finally he became a part of AA, and he told us he had been dry for 21 years. And I just congratulated him. But I said, there's one thing missing. He says, now you know about God. He said it was a greater authority, the greater power of God that helped him to overcome his alcohol problem. I know that there's God. I said, but you're missing one thing, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. And said, I encourage you, when you get back home, I want you to find a church. Study God's Word. Because you see, in the backside of the wilderness where there was nobody else, there was Jesus. And the seeds were planted for him to go back and to start a brand fresh new way. What are you saying? What are you saying? I'm saying that when you begin to look at God, there are some characteristics that will help you to stand tall no matter where you are. And the first characteristic of standing tall is found, as we read earlier, about building a godly foundation. If you're going to be a man, in fact, I chose the word acrostic, Father, okay? F-A-T-H-E-R. Father! F stands for foundation. You gotta have a foundation if you're going to be a father, and if you're going to lead your household. The foundation, there's two types of foundation. One, there's a foundation of rock, and the other, there's a foundation of sand. When we were looking into the rivers right behind of our motel, there was this shifting type of sand in which we were told, you don't get out there, you don't cross into those areas because it acts like quicksand. And sure enough, on the TV that night as we watched, there was a young man that was fishing for salmon out there, and he got out there and he started sinking down, and his waders got caught. And they had to call the fire department to come and to get him out. And the only way they could get him out was to take pieces of plywood and lay across the sand so they could get to him and rescue him. Two types of foundation for us today. We can either stand upon the rock, or we'll move to the shifting sand. God wants us to build a foundation just as Noah did. All the society around Noah was falling apart. But Noah found grace. If you're going to be a father, standing in the gaps, you've got to have a firm foundation. Secondly, there's got to be, for the A, there's an active walk. An active walk means this. You need to be personally involved in building up trust. A walk with God and a walk with His Word. Absentee fatherism in our country is lowering the standards. And in many cases, psychologists are telling us today that the reason why we have so many entering into places which they don't belong is because they don't have father role models. What do we need? A father needs to be an active in the life of his children. He needs to be active in the life of his wife. Not absentee, but there to stand by, to strengthen, and to help. Show me, we might say. Show me how to walk. Don't just tell me, Father, but show me. Thirdly, there needs to be the touch. A touch. There needs to be a tough and tender role model inside of this. Tough and tender? Well, here's an application that you can see. How can you be tender and tough at the same time? You can be tender in so much that God said to Noah, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. Noah, I want you to come in. Noah, I want you to build this ark so that two of every kind of animal can enter in. Not only the animals, Noah, but also you and your family. He was tender, but he was tough. How did that occur? He says, in 40 days, I'm going to send the rain. In 40 days, I'm going to send the rain in so much that the whole earth is going to be covered with water, and everything that breathes and flies is going to die. Same God. What was he? He was tough, but he was tender. How does it need to be inside of the home? What is a father? A father who has an active role. A father who has a touch. A father who is a tender and tough role model. How does this occur? Well, as God was tender, so man must be tender. But as God was tough, so men must be tough. Talking with one of our drivers when we were going to the North Pole. Hey, folks, my wife and I have been to the North Pole. And somebody might say, was Santa Claus there? I saw a man with a long white beard who said, ho, ho, ho. Now you fill in the rest of the gaps. But we went to the North Pole. But on the way that we were up there, our bus driver, he was retired military. His name was Tim. And Tim told me about his pastor. His pastor of the First Baptist Church in Fairbanks was a man who went out hunting. And by the way, hunting up there is a little different than here. This bus driver is telling me that hunting up there, you go out, you drive to the end of the road, you take your four-wheeler, and you go out into the wilderness for about a day where there's nobody. It's you, God, and creation, and the animals. But he said his pastor went out there and went out, and he didn't know it, but one day he got caught in between a mother bear and the cubs. And the mother bear attacked the pastor and mauled him, even to the point very close to death. And ultimately, they had to call in an army helicopter to come into the wilderness and to pull him out. He did survive. And today, he is recuperated, and today he is now preaching. But he said, you know, my pastor, he was there. I love him so much. And now I'm there watching my kids grow up underneath his leadership. He was tough. He went to the wilderness. He was tendered. He ministered to the families. Inside of our homes, we've got to be tough at times. Dads, it's tough, but it's got to be tender. And whatever it is, we've got to have some hands-on action right there. So therefore, we see another factor, a foundation, an active walk. There's need to be a touch, but also there needs to be heart. Heart. A commitment of the heart will lay it all on the line. God made a commitment to Noah. He made a covenant. He said, Noah, you build an ark, and you go inside. You do what I ask you to do, and this is what I'll do for you. I will seal the door up, and when the waters come, you and your family will live. He made a covenant, and he made a commitment. Inside of every home, there needs to be a covenant and a commitment. A command to obey. We need to understand. Men need to commit to their wives. Men need to make a covenant with their wives that they're going to stand strong, that they're going to be there, and their heart is going to have a passion toward their children. Their heart is going to have a passion toward their wife. Their heart is going to build a covenant that when things go up and down, even if you don't feel the passion, the covenant is there. The commitment is there. The strength is there. You've got to put your whole heart into your home, into your relationship with God. E stands for example. An example, Father, show me your faith. An example is leading the way through the wilderness. In chapter 7, you can see this. As Noah had built the ark, as the animals had all been brought on board. But in Genesis chapter 7, in verse 1, the scripture says, And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. When we begin to look as an example, two things occurred in that verse. Number one, God said, come in. Where was God? God was inside the ark. Number two is God said to Noah, come. Fathers, you've got to lead the way. You've got to be the man who is going to take the first step. You've got to go into the ark, into the presence of God, and God will close the door behind you and God will secure you. But the third thing that we see right there, God was inside. God invited Noah. Noah went in, but it also said, bring your family with you. You see, when we are an example for Jesus Christ, when we are an example before our children, we will show them our faith as we enter in. And the last point that I want you to see is that of the R in Father is that of respect. Respect. Respect defines value. Show me what you respect. In Genesis 7:16, the scripture says, and they went in, and went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him. The Lord shut him in. And then in verse 17, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Show me respect. All fathers need to show respect. They need to show respect to their heavenly Father through the Word and through walking in the Word. And they need to show respect to their family by loving and caring and sharing inside of this. When we teach respect, it goes a long ways in the life of children. I remember working with a group of young people over in West Point, and I said, let me give you an option here. Which one would you rather do? Would you rather have a father and mother that said, hey, y'all just go do anything you want to do. Just come back when you get ready. And just really don't care. Or would you rather have a family, a father and mother said, be in the house at 10 o'clock at night and really love those children and care for them? You know what these young people said? They said, give us the father and mother that really cares and say, be in at 10 o'clock. That was a little bit shocking. But you know what? They wanted to see moms and dads that cared. And so I think that's what our Heavenly Father is saying to us today. Hey, I care. I will show you. I will teach you respect. For the world, respect God. Well, if they didn't, they reached that point in which they did not respect, and God brought in the flood. Show me respect, and I will also show you respect. He says, I will never again destroy the world with water. And he brought out a rainbow. A rainbow. It was so neat. On one of our trips, we went to the backside of the wilderness. And on the way out, we decided to fly out from about a 92-mile trip back into the wilderness. And we got up in the airplane, and the cloud and the mountains were just covered with snow. But one of the unique points was we looked out across, and there was a rainbow, and we were level with the rainbow. And that was a covenant. God said that was God's way of speaking to us. Today, God has a way of speaking to you today. Here's my picture. Here's a rainbow. Here's my covenant relationship. Father, honor me, and I will love you. Noah, last father on earth, he was the last man standing, but he stood with God. If the whole world falls around you, be the last man standing. Stand with God. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we praise you, Lord, for you are worthy. You are honored. And Father, we thank you, our Heavenly Father, that we have so many here today. Let us be men and women, Lord, who love God so much and love our families. Let us be men and women who build a foundation, who are active with our children. Let us be of those, Lord, who would just put our whole life and have a passion, be an example. Lord, help us to teach our children to respect you and to respect each other and respect mom and dad. So much can a father do. Nobody else can take the place, that place. So be our Heavenly Father. And Father, we recognize that in many cases the fathers have gone, be it death or other reasons. But Lord, we will always have you. And you will never change. You will never fail. And it came to that point in time which Noah, only Noah, could look to his Heavenly Father. And maybe in the lives of many of those who are here today, they need to look to the Heavenly Father and find that direction and strength. So Lord, today we glorify our Heavenly Father and we're thankful for godly fathers. And may men and women, Lord, just recognize you and love you. And may men take their rightful place right now and stand in the gap and be that example for their children or for somebody else's child. May they be that role model so that people can learn and discover the love of the Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to share together for a moment of invitation. An invitation is a time just to let people do in their heart what God would have them to do. Some would like to say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I invite you to come. Come and let's talk. Others would like to say the prayer altar. Go to the prayer altars and just open up their heart before God. Hey, they're open. Some would like to say they'd like to join this church. We encourage that. What is God saying to you? As we stand together during this invitation time, may God lead you in that direction. Let's stand, please.